This week on Bad Takes in Boston, Jack gives his power rankings, intense college football talk, Heisman hopefuls, and more.
Jack, I want to start off this episode by saying one thing.
Yeah?
How about them Cowboys? How about it? I said last week on the pod there was not a chance on God's green earth, that the New York Giants were going to beat the Dallas Cowboys. And guess what? I was right. And you know what? I don't care. You're going to say congrats on your mediocre win. What is it really going to do when you finish 8-9 or, you know, right around 500 and it's another year of Mike McCarthy and mediocrity? I don't care. You know why I don't care? Because we're 2-2. The Eagles look bad. And secondly,
not as bad as you guys.
Secondly, my team beat your team and I have bragging rights until we play each other again. So you know what? How about them? How about them Cowboys?
Realistically, I'm so happy the internet's forever and that everything you just said can forever be like known to the public at large as the intense ramblings of a soon-to-crack madman who is watching the end of an empire in his very eyes. Like, you are hearing Nero fucking, and I don't even try to swear that much, but you're hearing Nero fiddle away on his violin right now while you're watching the collapse of the Dallas Cowboys. And congrats, you won the 5-point game. You beat the New York Giants that might have Cam Ward, Carson Beck, or Shedeur Sanders next year. I hope you enjoy it. The problem is, you've secured longer mediocrity for your team, and we've done exactly what we've needed to enhance that. In the future, we might be in a better situation. I hope you feel good. Realistically, though, it's the end of an era, and you should probably realistically take the opinion that everyone outside of the specific part of Texas that roots for the Dallas Cowboys has, and realize that your team is not very good. Our team isn't good either. We blew it. We'll talk about it at some point, but your team's not very good.
Well, Jack's going to give us his power rankings. I figure out the best way to do this is Jack ranked all 32 teams, and we're going to go a little back and forth debate. Jack's going to start from 32-1, and we're just going to talk about the NFL. I think it's been a crazy couple of weeks. We continue to talk about it, but there might be a little bit of surprises here, huh, Jackson?
Yeah. The bottom 10 was a lot easier for me than the top 10 here. There's been a lot of moving and shaking around. I'm going to utter a sentence later that I never thought I'd say, like, in my young adult life, possibly in my elderly life, but not my adult life, and you'll hear what that one is. But right now, we're going to start with 32. And congratulations, Carolina. You're a proud state. You're a good state. Beautiful state. Everyone's moving to Charleston. And you are not the 32nd worst team in the NFL, because that is the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins, another beautiful area, worst team in football. After that game last night, I couldn't imagine any other scenario. I realistically think they are rudderless. They are rudderless. Mike McDaniel has failed that team. Couldn't be more disappointed in how they're handling right now, especially knowing Tua's injury concerns. 31, though, didn't think we wouldn't forget about you. The Carolina Panthers, still not very good. You pulled out that one win. I believe in you, but you're still very bad. You got a lot of proof to people. 30, Patriots. Sorry, New England. 29, Raiders. Broncos, 28. 27, Titans. Colts, you did a thing this week. You were going to be way lower on this list, which should terrify you based on how you've played. But realistically, 26th best team in the NFL. Congratulations, you moved up a ton. Number 25 is the Bears. 24, the Giants. 23, the Browns. 22, the Rams. 21, the Bengals. 20, the Jets. 19, Cowboys. 18, Falcons. 17, Steelers. 16, Packers. 15, Saints. 14, Eagles. I can't believe I had faith in you guys, realistically. I thought you'd be good. You had a reason to be good. But at least Nick Sirianni's going to get fired. We could all be happy about that. Then we got the Niners at 13. We were never wrong in the first place, were we? 12 Chargers, 11
Packers. Now I want to stop you there. Okay. I want to stop you there. Before you get in your top 10, I got a couple things. I think this will set this up nicely.
Let's fit the algorithm. Give me what you most disagree with that we're going to like end up
fighting over. I think the team that you have, I think, way too high are the Browns. I sit there and think of, I think the Giants are better than the Browns. The Bears are definitely better than the Browns. The Colts are better than the Browns. I think the Broncos are better than the Browns. The Raiders are better than the Browns. They just beat them. They just beat them. How are you going to put the Browns above the Raiders if the Raiders just beat them on Sunday? Second of all, I think the Browns are right in like Dolphin Panther territory. Maybe the Pats. I don't really count the Pats because I think we're all pretty aware that they're playing
Sure.
Jacoby Brissett to, I think, tank and not let the NFL know that Drake May could probably be somewhat serviceable. I understand what they're doing. The Pats
Yeah.
are playing the long game. So for them, like, we could rank them at, 29 every week and they'll probably stay around there and no one's going to bat an eye
Yeah.
because they're not trying. I don't think they're trying to win. You
Yeah.
know what I'm saying? But the Browns, think about all the money they invested into this team. And oh yeah, I mean, it really wasn't Deshaun Watson's fault, I would say, this
It
past
is.
weekend. But
It is his fault. His team, the state of the team is his fault.
when is it going to be Jameis's turn?
I don't know. Well, that's my point with the Bengals, with the Browns, I should say, is that I agree that like I put the Giants behind them. The Giants beat they beat the Giants beat them, obviously. They just beat the they just lost to the Raiders. The problem is I look at the Browns as a team that like find a guy who can throw the ball. Who maybe hasn't just walking around in street clothes for the past couple of years. Find like a Ryan Tannehill or any sort of just random dude who is serviceable with the ball, and he would be significantly better for them
Well, they
than
had
what they
Joe
currently.
Flacco, and there you go.
I know, and Joe. I would even say Joe Flacco's that like Joe Flacco's a potentially debatably elite quarterback, but genuinely they are a team that everything should be working. Like the offensive line's very bad. And I completely see like that. While that also hurting Deshaun Watson a ton, Deshaun Watson's also just been historically awful.
Do you see any world that this team will be better once Nick Chubb gets back?
Yeah,
Because
because.
Jerome Ford doesn't look, but then again, what throws me off about the Browns is their whole game plan is, hey, we're gonna run the football and we're gonna set up the play action and we're gonna throw the ball down the field because
Yeah.
of it and open things up. But they can't run the ball. They can't run the ball. So in my head, I'm like, what is Nick Chubb really gonna do if they're not able to be dominant on that side of the ball? And secondly, I mean, think about the last couple of
Yeah.
years. They had a little trifecta going where it felt like any Browns running back that would come in, whether it was Nick Chubb getting hurt or Kareem Hunt, it was like RB3s and fours. And you're like, oh my gosh, let me go pick this guy up in fantasy. And this year, nothing. I just don't understand what happened.
There's a theory among like I like to get into offensive line nerd stuff that there's a theory that there is no such thing as an offensive line that's like good at run blocking and not good at pass blocking. Or like vice versa, where they're good at pass blocking and not good at run blocking. I think that theory is like completely wrong, and I think the Browns could potentially be like and other teams, including like the Giants, for instance, are like examples of that just not being the case. I think that right now they are struggling in the passing game because they have a quarterback who's simply terrible in the pocket and making them look awful for as bad as they are. They need a quarterback that can honestly help them more and bring back Nick Chubb. Who takes the load off of the offensive line and whoever is playing quarterback at that point? I hope it's not Deshaun for Cleveland's sake. Would realistically be able to like just get better than what they've been because their defense is still good. And what people don't realize is that Amari Cooper is still good. Amari Cooper is still a good wide receiver. We should all be very scared about the idea of the Chiefs with their whole like we need a wide receiver going after someone like Amari Cooper. Because that might still happen. And it's just the problem is Cleveland doesn't have anything to do with them. They have no options with them. It can't happen. They own a Ferrari but don't have a driver's license. Like it simply they are a team that can be good. They're just honestly they need to blow it all up. And I think possibly including Kevin Stefanski in that.
You think they're, I mean, he was coach of the year, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, but so is Brian Daboll, and I'm not exactly the highest on him right now.
Okay,
Like
that's,
people have 1 year coaching.
highlights.
Highlight.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, you bring up a good point there. I guess another thing that I want to say, just looking at, before we get into your top 10, I think the Eagles got to be lower. In my eyes, if you got the Cowboys down here at 19, the Eagles also, I think, got to be down there. And you know what's the difference between these two teams? And I think you'll agree on me. Is the quarterback play from Jalen Hurts this past season has been atrocious. I mean, this was a guy who was an MVP front runner, was in the Super Bowl, had him first overall seed in the NFC, and it was all sunshine and rainbows. And now this guy can't go a game without fumbling at least one time and turning the ball over. All he does is turn the ball over. I think he leads the league in turnovers in like the last 2 years or 3 years, something like that.
Yeah. Shout out Brian Lafferty for coming over this weekend and telling us that the one issue with our pod wasn't enough Jalen Hurts to hate. Because honestly, you're right. I like him. I think he's a good leader and a good dude, and that's always made me respect him. But the problem is that he simply is criminally underperforming how good his team is. Like, his offensive line is still very good. Their defense is still very good. Their weapons are still very good. Like, I don't understand how they're not winning games. And frankly, if I'm Jalen Hurts, not that he ever would do this, but you better hope that somehow some source that like is related to you but isn't can't be brought back to you somehow finds a way to get into that building and be like, it's all Sirianni's fault. Like, Sirianni is killing this man. He'd be a great player. He was great at Alabama. He was great at Oklahoma. Like, it's Sirianni sucking the life out of this dude, and we need to get rid of
I
that.
feel like it's
I.
gotta be that. It's either one of two things. It's either one of two things. All of a sudden, Jalen Hurts just like forgot how to play football.
Yeah.
I think a big part of it is that they lost Shane Steichen. Is that how I
Yeah.
say it? Yeah. I think that losing him was tough. And when it came to Sirianni, I think just the blunders they've
Yeah.
had over the past 2, 3 years. I think that takes a toll a little bit on
Yeah.
your team. I mean, sitting the Falcons game, I think especially when he's sitting there, and I know we talked about it, that after it happened,
Yeah.
but I think these type of, I'm not gonna say, it's almost like these immature type acts that he does of he puts himself of like, no, I'm the main character here, that I think kind of takes away from his team a little bit. You know what I mean?
And like
His theatrics, I think,
no
what make
good
them
head
worse.
coach is like that.
No,
No
Andy
good.
Reid's not going around doing
And
that.
the only coach I could think of that like got that level of what you would call theatrics was honestly maybe someone like Rex Ryan with the Jets. But honest to God, like it wasn't that level of theatrics where he was like cocky. He was just like kind of funny and like a good media personality, and that's why they elevated him so much. But yeah, no, it's completely embarrassing that you can have a team with this much talent where so many of these guys are like would be the best players on their other team. That'd be like elite offensive linemen, elite defensive tackle, elite like I wouldn't say cornerbacks, elite receivers. Saquon Barkley. Jalen Hurts would probably be great on another team, realistically, with all the stuff going on around him. I think that Sirianni absolutely needs to go and coach at honestly a different level and like regain his like, maturity again.
That's what I'm
Like,
saying. I felt like he wasn't like this. And then
yeah.
once they started winning, it changed into that. And I don't know. I just remember that team that went to the Super Bowl. That Philly team was some bad mofos.
100%.
Offense and defense, they would come in and I'd be like, damn, they
Yeah.
look like you were teams were afraid to play Philadelphia because they were physical. They were aggressive. They were ballsy. Like, they just did not care and said, no, we're gonna beat you. And we're gonna find, and we don't care how we do it, but we're gonna beat
And who
you.
were the characters on that team? But Jason Kelce, Brandon Graham, Malcolm Jenkins, reliable, good, like honestly, Hall of Fame players that their play was the topic of conversation, not the moronic coach and his stupid buddy who needs to hold him back on
Yeah.
sidelines. Like it's ridiculous. Like, people need to start, and people are. I was texting a lot of like Pennsylvania people this weekend, and they are starting to realize that he's a problem and he needs to
Sirianni's
go.
the issue?
Yeah.
Really?
Some of them are in the I hate Jalen Hurts camp, but I think that's gonna go away soon. Because I think Jalen Hurts is gonna have like a good maybe primetime game soon. And where people are like, oh, okay, maybe this wasn't it.
Another part of me thinks it's Kellen Moore. I mean, let's get real. As a
Ooh.
Cowboys fan, I mean, he had one good year as our, I would say 2 good years as our OC.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, I don't really watch Eagles games. Same way I know you don't watch really Eagles games. I mean, why would I
I
watch?
try to
I mean, I
actually.
don't
I
know.
try
I
to.
don't. I really don't care
We
about
watch
Philly.
every game,
That's true
every
to an
play,
extent.
every down.
Yeah,
We
to an
don't. No, that's
extent.
impossible.
But I will say this: when it comes to Philadelphia, I mean, their offense just doesn't look good. I mean, even the play calling looks different than what it used to be. There's no. I mean, I
Do you want me
understand.
to say why they're a better team than the Cowboys?
Well, I understand why they don't. Why I understand why they're struggling on offense. At least last game is. I mean, they don't have AJ Brown and they don't have DeVonta Smith. I mean, shoot, dude, Paris Campbell and John Ross. We're playing receiver for the Eagles on Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? But
I can't believe John Ross is
that's what I'm
playing for
saying. I
the Eagles.
understand. I understand why they're struggling on that
Former
side of the
Giants
ball.
receiving yards in a season leader, John
I
Ross.
just don't get it. I just don't get it. But I mean, that was just more of my thoughts on that. I mean, everything else I really don't hate, besides I think the Browns and the Eagles. Everything else I understand. I mean, there's a lot of mid teams. I think if you
Yeah.
look from like 11 to 20, where you're talking about like the
Honestly.
Steelers, the Falcons, the Packers, the Niners, even the Eagles and the Saints, even the Cowboys. I mean, those are teams that They're either going to figure it out and be a playoff team like we
Yeah.
thought at the beginning of the year, or they're going to start falling back and say, oh, yeah, no, they were never good. This is it. But let's
I
get into
still
your,
think the
I say we should get into
Rams,
your top 10
yeah.
because I think your 10 is very cheeky and I don't hate it. I
I
don't
know
hate it.
you would Tomas Romo would never in a million years hate calling the Buccaneers sneaky good. And that's exactly where we got them at the number 10 spot. Listen, they got problems. We all saw it. We all saw that collapse. It looked awful. But realistically, I still believe in the future of this team. I like Todd Bowles now as a coach more than I used to. I think they have a unit down there that believes in what they have going on. I like the Buccaneers. I'm really interested. Like I said that thing last week about them needing to invest in a running back, only for like Bucky Irving to just bust out of the scene in the most dramatic way possible. That like right after I got it out, everyone's like, "What about Bucky Irving?" It's like, "Oh, we record this on Tuesday."
Yeah.
Like I can only do so much. But if they figure out that element of the game and their defense still plays above average ball, which for a Todd Bowles team will never not really happen, it's always going to be an offensive struggle. Baker Mayfield's still playing well. The offensive line's playing much better than they have in the past. Like,
Mike Evans is great. Chris
yes,
Godwin is
Mike
great.
Evans will never not be great, I guess. Like, and then number nine, a different type of team. A more subdued, maybe it's the color change, maybe it's the region going from the southeast to the northwest, but the Seattle Seahawks are number nine, and they're good in a different way. They're good in a different way because realistically, if you look at this roster at the beginning of this year, you're like, oh wow, JSN, DK Metcalf, like that's pretty exciting. But like we still got Geno Smith, who we don't know could be good. And frankly, people who said that, including me, were absolutely wrong. They're absolutely wrong because they're still good. I am holding out a hope that we sign Geno Smith to the New York Giants next year, which would be pretty sad because he was the one that Eli Manning got benched for. I think they're a good team. I think Mike McDonald clearly knows what he's doing, clearly has like above average like football, like ball knowledge, and like helps his team just like get to where they need to be. I'm happy with him. Number eight's the Cardinals. You called it, man. Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray's good.
I just can't believe you have the Cardinals at eight, considering they're 1-3.
Yeah, but like you know they're gonna pop.
But that see, what's
You
throwing
know they're
but
gonna pop.
but the reason why I'm not gonna make a big deal of it is because the teams you have above them all beat them. Like the you know what I'm saying? And in the games in those games, besides last weekend when the Commanders just routed them, they've looked very competitive, had a chance to win all of them. I mean, there's a world out there where the Cardinals could be like 3-1 right now,
There totally is.
but I'm gonna let you finish. I'm gonna let you finish. Keep going.
Like they've had an incredibly tough go at it. I'm saying this week when they play the Niners, that's going to be a fascinating game. I'm saying that's going to be a really interesting, potentially Cardinals money line game.
Against who?
The Niners
Maybe.
in San Francisco.
Oh, not on the road.
Yeah, but like
Gotcha.
it's not like you're going to go play at like, Oxford, Mississippi. Like it's not like there's going to be a crazy crowd atmosphere in San Francisco. No offense, California, but it's just a stereotype that seems true. Yeah, I see some wins here. I see some wins, especially towards the end of the year when they got like, the Chargers. I'll even say that they'll beat the Chargers probably, the Dolphins, the Bears, the Jets. I overall this is one of the hardest schedules I think in football, but they've played well. Kyler Murray is good. Marvin Harrison is good. James Conner, out of nowhere, it's hard not to root for the guy. Looks good. Their offensive line looks very serviceable. I think they're going to figure it out because it's the power rankings isn't necessarily the draft order. Like this is just kind of like where the team is going. Because if I'm a Cardinals fan right now, I'm like, yeah, we're 1-3. We lost some tough ones, but to some very good teams. But
It's only up from here. I
we
feel like they
dismantled
gotta, yeah.
a Rams team that was supposed to like be like miles better than us, miles better. So I feel good about putting them there. Trey McBride, fantasy legend. Yeah, I can't say anything else about him. But then number seven, and this is what I meant, because like I some things you just don't think can ever change. And I really thought the Commanders were one of them. I was really big on like fading their absolute team this year in terms of win totals and anything about them. They look bad. Whoa, sorry. They were gonna be bad. They were gonna be bad. The Cliff Kingsbury thing looked like it was just a crazy reach, in my opinion. Dan Quinn's not a good head coach, theoretically. This is all what I thought going into the season. And Jaden Daniels looks perfect. He looks insane.
I
Like
mean,
it's
he's
weird to think
breaking
that we could
records. He's breaking
potentially have
records.
like two CJ Stroud-like seasons back to back. Like it's
I think the best way that I could put what he's doing right now is very replicable of what RG3 did when he came to the Redskins his first year.
100%.
Because at this point, looking at the rest of the division, I don't see a world as of now where the Commanders don't win this division. They have the easiest schedule out of all of them, and they're just putting it on teams we didn't expect them to do that to.
No.
You know, I mean, putting up 40 points on Arizona this past weekend blew my mind. I mean, I had the Cardinals money line, which
Yeah.
was dumb, but watching them play, and even the players have said, I mean, I've kind of been tapped in on Twitter to what they said. I mean, I'm really tapped in on all
Yeah.
AFC East Twitter, you know, but the players said they're having fun.
They
You know what I
should be.
mean? They all are saying this is some of the most fun I've had playing football in a long time. And you know what? If they're going to be a fun team, I feel like fun teams go a long way. I really do.
They are. And I'll tell you what's interesting about them is that they really aren't that talented,
No.
which is so
Their
fun to me.
defense is bad. I'm sorry. Their defense is led by what, 40-year-old Bobby Wagner? Come on.
Their defense is bad. But I was just watching a video today, Brett Coleman, one of the best football YouTubers, and he made a really good, interesting case for how Cliff Kingsbury might be the reason why they're good. In the sense that they are using the talent around them to work around the deficiencies in their offense and minimize them as much as possible, meaning tons and tons of like wide receiver screens, like tons of like West Coast offense style, like quick passes where like we need the offensive line to do a lot. We don't need a lot of like intense blocking, which opens up the box and allows people like Brian Robinson, who also aren't that good, to get in on the situations where like they seem it's an obvious passing down where they spread everyone out to the sides. I think that's incredibly impressive. And it clearly just shows that like something was up in Arizona. Clearly there were just some personality conflicts going on out there in the desert. But they look great. And I think Dan Quinn's just a good leader of men. Maybe he's not like an amazing coach. I still like jury's out on that. But like he seems like people rally around
He's a
him and like
motivator.
him.
Yeah, he's a motivator. No, I get that. I was getting number six.
Baltimore Ravens. They were giving me some issues. They were freaking me out. But like, woo! That was a yard sale against the Bills. Who I ranked higher than them, spoiler alert. But you haven't heard me say their name yet, so you've surmised that. I think that clearly the lack of consistency early in the year needed to come out. I obviously this is a team that could have beat the Chiefs, you know, beat the brakes off the Cowboys. Now is be a team that I still think could be a Super Bowl team in the Bills. I like them a ton. I think it was a little scarier when people were looking at it being like, oh, maybe Derrick Henry's washed. This offensive line isn't very good. And now they're looking around and saying, like, that's a great defense. Lamar Jackson's still good. And they have people who can move around that awful offensive line and work in a similar way that the Commanders are with their offensive linemen. I think it works pretty well. I think it works pretty well. And Derrick Henry is also just like ageless and does well in every situation. So yeah, I'm feeling good there. Texans, obviously still good. Let's not lose like that, guys. Let's not, if you want to be like the team that everyone thinks you can be, where like D'Amico Ryans is winning awards and stuff, like I'm gonna start that off with a negative because they did play pretty poorly.
Against Jacksonville.
But everything's there. I'm a huge fan of that O-line. I like that defense. How Will Anderson's great. The fact that, you know, like generally, like I think that everything about that they are doing works out perfectly for them in terms of winning in the regular season and potentially winning in the offseason. Like in terms of the NFL's played now with like deep balls, good protection, like, you know, physical defense, there's nothing you could really want more than the Houston Texans, honestly. And the fact that they're all so young and you don't have to pay CJ Stroud or anything, just, you know, cherry on top. Bills,
Number four.
tough one. Sorry. Wish I could have made you higher. Kind of wanted to, but after a 35-10 loss, you can't do that. I still think everything's working out perfectly. People know that Josh Allen's at this point is a guy who can elevate the talent around him. You don't need someone like Stefon Diggs to hold his hand anymore and help him through the difficult situations. He just makes people better around him. I still like this offensive line. Defense needs work. Defense needs work, but I have enough faith in the offense that they'll keep playing well for the defense to eventually figure it out because they do have some names on that defense. Obviously, like, you know, you don't want DeMar Hamlin to be like, you know, one of your best defensive players unless he like actually shows that he's better than he has been. But right now, I think they are a very good team that like right now like spreads the ball to everybody and is just a great watch. And I think they're obviously with the Ravens loss, I believe that'll be an outlier for the rest of the season. Number three is the Minnesota Vikings.
We're going to talk about them after you finish this off, but I have a couple things I want to say. I'm going to let you go
They're
first.
great. They're great. You know what? I'll just do 3-2-1 just to get it out of the way. It's Vikings, Chiefs, Lions. Go ahead. Give me just list away.
I really don't hate your top 10. The only one that I don't really agree with is the Cardinals because they're 1-3, but I see the approach you're taking. But besides that, I really don't disagree with much. When it comes to the Vikings and the Bills, I want to say this because right now I think if we're just being realistic, Josh Allen's probably the front runner for MVP. But secondly, why are we talking about Sam Darnold? Why is Sam Darnold not the in why are we not having that conversation that Sam Darnold is the MVP? And it's crazy to think about, but my gosh, they went up, what was it, like 21 or 28-0 against Green Bay in Lambeau. And I'm thinking this is a divisional game, and he is putting it on him, considering they were 3-point dogs. And I don't know. I mean, he's throwing almost like three touchdowns a game. It's like, how are we not recognizing that this guy potentially is the MVP of the league? But I don't think even if the Vikings, let's say they win like 13 games, I don't think they give it to him, regardless, because you know why? It's Sam Darnold. No one's good. No one. There's. That's like such an insane outlier if you think about it. A guy who was a backup quarterback last year to now the MVP of the league. I just don't think the league would really give it to him, but I think it needs to start being a conversation. I mean, we're heading into what, week f
I disagree. I
we're
think the
heading into
league.
week five? I mean, how many more games does he have to like ball out and throw three touchdown passes and 300 yards for someone to be like, you know what, nah, he should be the MVP?
I disagree. I think he right now is the objective front runner.
11 touchdowns to three interceptions. He's almost thrown for a
And
thousand
I think as
yards.
much as I people who are really into football in an online sense can get really into the fact of like how bad he used to be for other teams, but I think for the NFL, they love to sell a comeback story.
But that's the thing,
And
they have a comeback player of the year award for a reason, and I think that when
he's playing better than Joe Flacco did last year.
okay, so then let's hypothetical for a second. If he's not the comeback player of the year and he's your MVP, who's the comeback player of the year? It's not Aaron Rodgers right now.
Maybe James Conner.
Maybe.
Maybe James Conner.
Maybe. Who else got hurt last year?
I mean, then it gets all
Maybe it's
weird. Then
maybe
it
in
gets
turn,
all
maybe
weird
it's
because,
like Andy Dalton, low key. Maybe if like the Panthers won like seven games or something. I don't
yeah,
know.
a lot, yeah.
It could get interesting, but that all I'm saying is I'm just curious to know at what week. Or at what point in the season do we have to get 10 weeks in? Do we have to get 9, 8 weeks?
From weeks 8 to,
The
to
Viking schedule is
14.
so
From weeks
easy.
8 to 14, they play the Rams, the Colts, the Jaguars, the Titans, the Bears, and the Cardinals in
And then they
that
play the
order.
Falcons.
And then they play the Fal but they're a good defensive team, is kind of what I'm thinking. But those defenses they're going up against are going to get lit up.
So here's my
Are going
second
to get
here
lit up like a
so time
Christmas
out, so
tree.
time out. Here's my second point. Okay, if that's the case, statistically though, because you got to remember he's going against other people he's competing with. So if it comes to like the Bills, right, and let's just say Josh Allen is his biggest competitor right now, what is going to be the difference in stats and in record that's going to say no, Sam Darnold is the MVP as the MVP over Josh Allen? I mean, does he have to throw 10 more touchdown passes and 1,000 more yards and have like three more wins? I mean, what is going to be the difference? Because my argument for the Vikings is they had Kirk Cousins last year, and I know he got hurt, but they weren't looking this good. They never looked this good. Even that year that the Giants beat him in the playoffs, we all knew Minnesota wasn't good. They were such a fake good team. They won every game by like 1 or 2 points and had the best record in. You know what I'm
That
saying?
team couldn't be more different than this team.
That's
Like, that team couldn't
the
be more
point. That's
different.
the point. And Sam Darnold has came in when we expected nothing out of them, and they're 4-0 and have an opportunity to realistically win this division and be one of the top teams, not only in their conference, but the league. And so I don't know. That is my big question mark, or that is my big that's my big concern is I'm afraid the NFL, if Sam Darnold keeps playing at this level, they won't give him the MVP, and it's going to be to Josh Allen or someone else by default because that's your big
I
name
think the
player.
only argument would be if there's a lot of Justin Jefferson stat padding, where Justin Jefferson's like getting the majority of these yards or like a disproportionate amount of them, then I could see them doing some sort of situation where like the narrative becomes, well, it's just Justin Jefferson and he's obviously like an elite receiver in the league, but we're not going to give the MVP to receiver, so Josh Allen gets it because he's playing with Keon Coleman and Khalil Shakir and he's playing with some of the best weapons in the NFL, with the best tackle play in the NFL. That would be the argument. I would need to see where they are at the end of the year, but realistically, like you said, 11 touchdowns through four games is gross, and stuff we haven't seen in a long time in the NFL with regards to passing numbers. Like, people still talk about Mahomes like he's like amazing. I pointed to you and I said that, but like he hasn't thrown for numbers like that in a long time,
No.
since we were in high school, maybe. And I think that right now we should reward good play no matter who it comes from, no matter what the baggage comes with it. I think he's the number one guy.
I will say this about the Chiefs, last thing before we kind of, get into another topic, but they're so inevitable. They played like crap on Sunday against the Chargers, but never at one point I was like, they're gonna lose this game. Also, Kelce, welcome back.
We needed that big. Wow.
I'm sorry, they're just gonna keep winning, and it doesn't matter because they're gonna be in the playoffs, they're gonna win that division, and we'll be seeing them in the AFC title game in January, and it doesn't even matter. There's not even really a point to talk about the Chiefs besides the fact that Rashee Rice probably is gonna be out for the whole year. I mean, Patrick Mahomes
And I do think that'll
hurt
impact
him.
them. I do think
I
that'll
think it will
impact
too.
them.
But so now here's what I want to kind of segue into before we get into college football is, if you're the Chiefs and Rashee Rice is out for the rest of the year or a considerable amount of time, who do you go trade for? They have to go trade for a receiver. There's no way they're going to roll out Xavier Worthy and like Justin Watson and Sky Moore. God, he sucks. Sky Moore sucks.
Sky
Oh
Moore's
my
bad.
God, he sucks. He is
He's
like
not
one of
good.
the worst players I've ever seen play football. He can't catch the ball, he can't create separation. And I think it's obvious that he sucks.
It's actually insane how long he's been in the league.
Who do you trade for? I mean, here's here here I got a couple.
I got a couple names off the top of my head. I'll let you say yours first.
I got Davante Adams because the Raiders are looking to shop him. I just don't see them trading to the Chiefs considering they're in the same division. Amari Cooper, I could 100% see. I mean, his cap hit right now, I think, is only like $600,000 if it's a team trade for him. Which,
How that, I mean,
I mean, that's and
that's
this is like super gross, and like maybe this might happen, but like Odell Beckham Jr., why not? He's in Miami. There's no reason for him to try and play football in Miami. And lastly, why not like an Adam Thielen or Deontay Johnson? I mean, Deontay Johnson's on the last year of his deal. Trust me, he's not coming back to
I
Carolina.
think Deontay Johnson would be the number one out of those two. I don't think they'd want Adam Thielen at this point. I also think Adam Thielen's kind of become like a fan favorite down there that they like kind of don't really want to get rid of.
Okay, so then who do you have?
You have a very similar list to me. The only people I would add additionally to that is probably Darius Slayton on the Giants,
I did see something about that.
which makes a lot of sense because if you think about how his career's went, he's been the Giants receiving yards leader pretty consistently throughout his entire career. Has had quite a few, like, I don't think he's ever had a season with less than 750 receiving yards, which for the Giants is very impressive. He is a deep threat. He was like a former track guy at Auburn. Drops are a problem. Drops are totally a problem, but I've always known, and he's had a very complicated relationship with Giants fans because he has been one of our better offensive players, but like when things need to like happen, he will like a third of the time make the big play that we need him to. And because of that, I think a lot of people do kind of want to see him leave, even though his potential is like pretty high. And I've always known him to be kind of a player similar to that of like Evan Ingram, where like he was a hated Giants person at the time, but the moment he goes to a different team, he's going to be very good. And
So,
if Darius Slayton went to the Chiefs, it would be disgusting and would probably get us like, I don't know, maybe like a fourth, third round pick. If we're lucky, if they're desperate, they'll give us a third round pick for him. But yeah, that's a whole other. Honestly, grosser than that, Jalin Hyatt.
Really?
Because there's a lot of beef with him right now. He's getting about 20% of the snap share for the Giants and is complaining about his usage a ton. And right now has not elevated his game at all since Tennessee. But I think the Chiefs would be like, all right, go long. Mahomes is going to get you.
Well, okay, well, he doesn't know how to run routes, first of all.
Yeah, but he knows how to run
So can I
straight.
ask you a question?
Yeah.
So Darius Slayton, I'm assuming it's because Malik Nabers is there, but is that why he doesn't see the field?
No, he doesn't see the field because right now they're rotating between just slamming the ball with Malik Neighbors
And Wan'Dale
and
Robinson in the
Wan'Dale
flat.
Robinson on third down and then running the ball. But Darius Slayton's also had some bad drops this year, but he is the third guy and is just taking it's really only those two dudes. Like, we get nothing from the tight ends. We get nothing from like any other like potential like receiving threats on this team. Yeah.
I honestly, the more I think about it, I think the best player for them, if I'm the Chiefs, I mean, I think it would 100% be Devontae Adams. I mean, you put Devontae Adams on
Yeah.
that team, like, that'd be nuts. But the most realistic, I think, is Deontay Johnson. I think if you're the Panthers,
Maybe Keenan Allen.
no, I have no, there's no reason for them to draft, or sorry, not to draft, to trade for someone who's old. I don't understand why you'd want
Well, you already
someone.
said the Adam Thielen wouldn't be that bad.
The only reason Adam Thielen would, I don't think would be that bad is because, I mean, he got hurt, don't get me wrong, but if you're calling teams, right? If you're calling teams, I'm going to go to Carolina because they have nothing to play for. The Bears want Keenan Allen. They traded
The
for
Bears have
him.
nothing to play
What
for.
are you talking about? They're 2-2, dude. I
Yeah,
mean,
but they're not a good team.
yeah, but you're talking about them like they don't think they could maybe make the playoffs this year.
If I was a Bears fan, I wouldn't. Like, they're going to be
That's.
like a 7-win team, kind of like we said.
I
Like, they're
know,
not
but.
good.
I mean, I don't think, but Caleb Williams, they looked better this past weekend. I mean, he didn't throw for 300 yards, but if you want to talk about like straight passer rating QBR, it was his best game he's
Yeah, but
played.
this is not a team that's going to compete at all in the NFC North. Like, they might get squad wiped by the entire NFC
I don't
North.
know, dude. Think
Like,
about, okay, but let's think about the playoffs for a second. All right, let's like big picture this, okay? Big picture this. In that division, as of now, let's just say I think the Lions win that division. Lions win that division.
yes.
The Packers, I think, make the playoffs. The Vikings make the playoffs. Okay. If I'm gonna look in the NFC East, I'm gonna say the Commanders, right? The Commanders. And then if you go out west, what are we gonna say? I mean, the playoffs picture is kind of nuts if you think about it, because there really is a scenario where all teams in the North make the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's likely because I think
The Bears, I
when
know,
you
are the
look at the
odd. I know the
Bears.
Bears are the odd team out, but like realistically. They could, because I think the Niners are still going to win the West. But I mean, the Rams are cheeky. You have Seattle, obviously. I mean, here in the East, you got Dallas and Philly kind of fighting for, you know, whatever. But then in the NFC South, it's only going to be, I think it's going to be one team. Whoever wins that division makes the playoffs.
Yeah.
But it's kind of funny how you go into this year, and I don't think you would necessarily said the NFC is going to be super competitive. But when you look at the playoffs through, you know, the first 4 weeks, you go, well, the AFC is wide open. Anyone can make the playoffs in the AFC. And in the NFC, hey, you need to start figuring it out. These teams were like 2-2, 1-3. Buddy, you need to start finding a way to put some W's on the board, because if you get behind, you're not coming back. Like, for example, Cincinnati's 1-3 in the AFC. And I mean, they could still make the playoffs, but 1-3 right now. Like, let's say, for example, right, the Cowboys are a good example. They have a super hard schedule coming up. They're like 3-5, 3-6 before we get to week 10. No team in the NFC is going to make the playoffs already being that behind everybody. But I don't know. I'm just saying that it could happen.
Bringing it back to the Chiefs conversation for a second, though, I do think that whoever they get is going to be someone they know they
It's
can't
it,
mess with.
yeah.
Like, realistically, it doesn't matter who they get because it's a bidding war, because they know, like, they can turn any of these dudes from Darius Slayton to Deontay Johnson into someone that plays possibly as good as Devontae Adams for a lot less money.
That's true.
And I think that that's terrifying. And Xavier Worthy's still good. It's just that he can't be the guy right now. He's like has been said, he's a little skinny. And it's just not working for him. Lions are good. We've all seen it. They look pretty great. Defense needs a little work, but honestly, they played some pretty good teams and they've shut them all down pretty well. Not much more you could say.
Well, let's segue on to college football. Before we talk about the Heisman and just some of the matchups this weekend, I think we got to talk about that Georgia-Alabama game. I think it's going to be a great way to kind of get into our little Heisman talk. But one of the best college football games I think I've ever watched, considering that Bama was up 30-7 at halftime. And Georgia found a way to take the lead. I mean, we were out watching the game at the bar, and I think it was utter shock how at halftime we weren't watching the game because we're like, this is over. And we're just counting the coin we won because, baby, we had Bama money
Yeah, of
line.
course we did.
And we're looking at each other, oh
Oh,
crap.
this might be over.
Oh crap. This is like, oh my God. And you know what? There's two people you got to sit there. And if you're a Bama fan and thank God Jalen Milroe's on my team, and thank God Ryan Williams is going to be there for another 3 years.
It's insane. It's insane they expanded the college football playoff just for all of us to have to watch Alabama win another national championship. We should all be depressed by that. As cool as Jalen Milroe is, that's sad, and I hate that. It's also weird because if you compare this Alabama team to last year, there were a lot of deficiencies in that team, even though there are quite a few first round picks all to be seen throughout the roster. It was very much a weaker Alabama team that a lot of people, the defense wasn't very good last year. The offensive line needed a lot of work last year. And they came in and just seemed to just like, all right, here are the recruits and transfers we have because we're the University of Alabama, put them in. And now they look great. Granted, defense is not as elite as some of the other Alabama defenses in the past that we've seen from the Carson Beck near comeback here. But in terms of what they needed to like actually fix immediately, like that offensive line is what cost them a trip to the national championship. And now they got guys that all look like they could be like top picks. Thomas Booker especially looks fantastic. Shout out, he went to Berkman Catholic for a bit, transferred out, it's whatever, no hate. I think that they, and he's a captain too, so he will be like a first round pick. He's sick. I saw him pulling, it was amazing. They look unstoppable. And this would have been the one team to beat them. Because right now,
There's
like,
no
if
other
we're
team.
talking about Texas,
No,
no.
no,
No.
no.
Maybe like something fun happens. Like we get like they play Miami or something, and it's like
I think.
really humid. I don't know. Like it's just the, so, something fun where like we just get a shootout with this defense against like a quarterback who can like play a consistent game, not a Carson Beck, obviously, who needs to
He's
turn it off in
not
certain situations.
good.
Like, dude,
Not good.
they lost by one touchdown after coming back, and they throw three picks. Like as good as like you could say like he came back and the defense should have played better. Like take away one of those, win the game.
All I'm
Win the
saying
game.
is this. All I'm saying is this. When it comes to Carson Beck, you know that I'm not a Carson Beck truther by any means. I don't think he's good. And for me, at least, watching him play, there's nothing that he does that jumps out at the screen. And I'm like, wow, that was a very athletic play by Carson Beck. Or wow, what a throw. Look at him showing some toughness. Now, there's not one game I've ever watched him play where I've said that. I don't understand. He's going to get drafted in the first round, and whoever picks them, oh, they're going to be set back for another 3 years because his game is not going to translate. I don't understand. I just don't get the hype around him at all. Considering you just watched Jalen Milroe play, and coming into the year, Carson Beck was the Heisman favorite
It's a weak quarterback class this year. It's definitely a weak quarterback class.
compared to last year. Yeah,
And
but.
like the past couple of years, like
I mean,
outside of the
think
Kenny
about it.
Pickett year, like it's
What do you
not.
mean? It's like 2 years ago, CJ Stroud and Bryce Young. And we all know how that turned out. Bryce Young.
Yeah, but I would still say that class is much better than this one.
I don't think
Like
so. I
Carson Beck, Cam Ward. Like I like Cam Ward a
Shedeur
lot.
Sanders and
Shedeur
Jalen
Sanders,
Milroe.
I'm still not convinced is a first round pick. Sue me. Put me in jail. Put me in the stocks. I like him. He looked good. Baylor is not actually that good a
He
team.
beat
So that.
UCF. UCF. They were like 14-point
Yeah,
dogs.
but they were. But
On
we
the
all
road.
kind of knew that made no sense. Like, we all knew that that was kind of a weird, cheeky line that clearly people are like, all right, we have consistency against inconsistency here. I'm not convinced they're that good. Like, congratulations. You beat a team in what, the American Conference?
I think so. No, wait, no, they're now in the Big 12, dude.
Are they in the Big 12
Yeah.
now?
Colorado's also in the Big 12.
No, I know that, but like it's conference realignment, man.
Yeah,
That's why,
I
yeah.
know.
But you get what I'm saying.
No, I
Like
do, but But kind of going back to this Bama game
Yeah.
for a second, I also want to talk about Ryan Williams because I think this is so funny. I know if you're on Twitter or anywhere, you saw the picture of the two Alabama players where one
Yeah.
guy has the Bible verse. It was like
Yeah.
Psalm something, and the other guy said, "Kill everybody." I did not know the one who said, "Kill
Was
everybody,"
Ryan
was
Williams?
Ryan Williams. And when I saw that, that was a 17-year-old. I was like, one, Bama's so back. And two, after they won, he changed his Instagram profile pic to Mike Vick holding a dog. And
Yeah.
I'm sorry, like that dude, he's just so, he's about it.
No,
He
that.
is about it on so many levels. And the fact that he's 17 is insane. He had 177 yards receiving, caught the game-winning touchdown. And that was all him. Don't get
Yeah.
me wrong, I think it was a greatly executed play, a great thrown ball by Milroe, knowing, hey, back shoulder. He's faster than these two guys. He makes one miss, he's got a chance versus, try to throw it out in front and let him run. After that, the yak, everything after the catch, all him. I mean, he made those two Georgia defenders look absolutely silly.
He's
That
gonna
was
be
ridiculous.
like a potentially top four pick. Like he's incredible.
At
And the fact that
17,
they have him, like, I don't understand what the rules are now. Like he has to stay for two more years until he can
yeah.
declare. Okay.
He I saw a stat that like realistically, I think by the time he's playing in the Senior Bowl, he would have just like turned 20, which is insane.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, he wouldn't even play in the Senior Bowl. He's that good. He wouldn't even.
Yeah, he had no
But
reason to
like
play in the Senior Bowl.
he. Yeah, no, they look unstoppable. The only way would just to be like to like have like a track meet with their defense, and even then, like Alabama finds a way to win these games, man.
They
They
do,
find
they
like
do.
unless you're like Ole Miss and like a random Saturday where no one's watching you, you're not gonna beat them unless you have a like dynastic team just like on your back, which some people do. I like some of these other like I'm gonna be honest, like there this is a weird year for college football. And I do think like anything can realistically happen, but I'm
Same way A&M might make the playoff.
yeah, for sure.
What are you talking about? Okay, I'm not gonna get into like a whole game breakdown of it because I know the A&M as an Aggie, I understand the roller coaster of a ride that it is. But the Aggies are welcoming number nine ranked Missouri, undefeated Missouri at that, to College Station, Texas on Saturday. We're the 25th team in the country. They're number nine. And we're 2-point favorites. And if Texas A&M finds a way to go to 5-1 and hand Missouri their first loss and advance to 3-0 in conference play, we need to start having a conversation about Texas A&M. And we're playing with a backup quarterback right now. He's probably going to start again on Missouri if I had to guess, with Wigman still being out. But if A&M goes to 5-1 and you look at the rest of their schedule, they don't play anybody. Anybody until they play Texas at Kyle Field on November 30th. And if they have one loss up until that point, it's going to make that Lone Star showdown even more interesting. But all I'm going to say is there's an opportunity there for A&M. 100%. 100%.
Yeah, there is an opportunity. I feel like for your sake, if I was you, I would wish you were dogs, like betting wise, because then it would just feel like a for sure like easy thing. But the fact that you are favored in this game against a team that theoretically on paper has every ability to like beat the brakes off you, I would say that's a weird feeling. And clearly, maybe there's something going on in College Station. Maybe the water is a little tainted, but the home atmosphere isn't giving you what it used to.
No, I think you're absolutely wrong. I don't think you can speak on the home
Well, you'd be
atmosphere.
ranked higher than UNLV if you beat Notre Dame, and then that
I
didn't
mean,
work out.
I
Like,
understand that, but I mean, we looked horrible in that Notre Dame game. But if we beat Missouri, my whole point is not saying, oh, if we lose, yeah, no, if we lose, then I'm not even going to talk about it anymore. But if we win and they're 5-1
yeah.
and beat number nine Missouri, there's no reason A&M doesn't jump up to at least 15 in the country, and then we're going to start having a real conversation.
No, for sure, but they're coming off a bye week. They have you have a bottom five, you have a not bottom five, you have a mid, very decisively mid passing defense.
Our
Luther,
defense is so good. No, like
your passing
our
defense is
defense is
like
so good.
65th in total passing defense right now. I was waiting for this. Currently wedged between Syracuse and Texas State, with 1,035 yards. It's actually one of the higher yards allowed based on the overall metric. And Luther Burden's insane.
Yeah, but
Like
I'm looking.
Luther Burden
I know,
can
but
rip you
we're
apart.
talking about a Missouri team. We're talking about a Missouri team who routed Murray State, routed Buffalo, whoopty freaking do. They almost lost to BC at home. They beat them by 6. They were
BC's good.
down. I know
BC's
BC's
good.
good. And then they beat Vanderbilt in double overtime
Yeah,
by
they had a
30.
trap game against them. They almost lost. Bad almost lost, granted. But then they have a bye week where they're like, can you believe we let up the wheel? We got all hot in our stuff, beating a ranked team, beating two garbage teams,
But the
blowing them
bye week
out.
doesn't make me feel better about that. I mean, they haven't played football in over a week, and now you're going to come to College Station, a very hostile environment. They play at 11 a.m. college Texas time, so noon Eastern time. But I don't know. I just don't. Those type of games aren't a recipe for success. I think if, like you said, if Missouri was as dominant or as good as you think, I don't think they would have been 2-point
Oh, they're
dogs.
not dominant or good. They're good, but they're not dominant. I just don't see a scenario where like you should feel good about being favored against them, where a spread bet of them plus 2 would result in your loss, because they are on paper a much better team. On paper, neutral site, you're playing in the Kippy Dome in Idaho. They are a better. Their Jimmies and Joes are a little bit better. I just think that having that atmosphere adds to it. But no, I do disagree about the, and we can move on from this soon, but I do disagree from the bye week perspective, because all that just means is you have an extra week to prepare mentally for anything they could potentially throw at you. You got 2 weeks of their scheme. Your players are fresher because you're not going as hard in that first week. So people are a little more rested, a little more ready to go. And they've had 2 weeks to think about how everyone's calling them fraudulent due to this near loss to Vanderbilt, which frankly isn't as bad as it used to be. That's not as bad a statement as it used to be. There's gonna be a lot of SEC teams that have near losses to Vanderbilt. Let's be real.
That's true.
Like
That's true.
this isn't the Clark Lee years anymore, you know? Like this isn't like the Alabama, you're next, and then getting blown out. It's not the same.
Now let's pivot. Let's pivot. Let's talk about the Heisman hopefuls. I think this is a good way to kind of wrap up the episode is Heisman hopefuls. And I think right now there's two guys, you know what? No, three. I'm gonna say three guys that I think can realistically, as of right now, win the Heisman. One is Jalen Milroe, 100%. Two is Travis Hunter, and three is Ashton Jeantie, the running back from Boise State. I hope I'm saying that right.
Well, you
But
took a jump over somebody.
I took some jumps, but let's look at this. Milroe, his performance alone, I mean, he threw for over 300 yards. He rushed for like 150, something ridiculous. Had four total touchdowns, and he looks like that dude. And he put the team on his back.
Yeah.
Travis Hunter, they continue to doubt him. Everyone keeps saying like he can't play both ways, but he keeps catching like 10 balls a game for 100 yards and scores a touchdown and finds a way to get a pick as well. He also hit the Heisman pose after
Yeah.
picking off KJ Jefferson. And I'm sorry, that's tough. That was really freaking cool. And what Jeantie's doing at Boise State, I know it's Boise State, and
That's
you
Boise
know,
State's good.
I know,
We
but
can't be
like,
disrespectful.
I know, but you're going to disrespect it because it's Boise State. Like, don't act like
No,
they're
I'm
something
not more of a
crazy.
Boise State respecter than you are.
I know, I understand that, but it's Boise State. I just don't. It's gonna be real tough unless they, you know, start really putting some games together and have an opportunity to maybe be on the outside looking in of a playoff spot potentially
They
or.
beat Washington State. That's a good team. They almost
I
beat
know if
Oregon.
they would
That's
have
a
beat
good
Oregon,
team.
if they would have beat Oregon, we'd probably have a different conversation. But there's been guys, NFL
Ooh.
players, who have been saying that, hey, this guy is his game is going to translate insanely well
Yeah.
to the league. And if you watch his highlights, no one in college can tackle him. Like physically, I feel like every big run he has, he breaks five, six tackles, and then it's just a what, sprint to the end zone, and he just outruns everybody. Blows my mind.
I am gonna not give you my top three because you've got a lot of my top three. I'm gonna say that past the names you mentioned, in terms of the overall betting odds, the likelihood of this happening drops off like a ton of bricks. Like Dylan Gabriel isn't gonna win it. Nico Iamaliva isn't gonna win it. Jackson Dart, no. Quinn Ewers, I don't think at this point. Not Will Howard, not Miller Moss, not Kate Klubnik for sure. Carson Beck, no. But I do think you jumped over Cam Ward. And I'll be honest, out of all those dudes, besides maybe Jalen Milroe, although They have the same odds right now. I like Cam Ward to win.
Over
And
Milrow?
realistically,
Over Milrow?
out of all those quarterbacks, out of all those players, I like Cam Ward the most. And if I'm a GM who's looking at players to get next year, I want Cam Ward on my team like I want water in the desert.
That's unbelievable.
The fact that you can include Ashton Jeantie and Travis Hunter, who are very good players. Statistically, Jeantie jumps off the page. Boise State's great. Travis Hunter, obviously generational talent, gonna probably be the most profitable NFL player of all time. Cam Ward has some of the most insane arm talent I've ever seen. Like,
You
watch
act like I'm
his.
not watching. You act like I don't watch him
No,
play.
but that's not what I'm saying. Watch his highlights at every level of the game. He reminds you of every single, like, quarterback that was drafted from a couple years ago, who transferred from a JUCO to go to a better school, who is a little undersized, who just has like insane talent and like good leadership abilities, and this guy has that. Realistically, people are going to value the U being good better than they're going to value Alabama being good. College football's better when the U is back.
No, I don't. The reason why I don't think so, is because there's a difference with the conference. We're talking about the SEC here. Okay. And when I'm looking at this Miami schedule, they don't play anybody until I think the last week of the season
Yeah, but
where they
that's
play
not gonna matter
Syracuse.
when we have a big playoff and everyone plays everybody, and it's not gonna
Yeah, the
like.
playoff, I think, will I think Cam Ward. I
And
think it I think I don't
it's
I'm
not
listen.
Miami's fault that Florida State's bad.
I know, but all I'm gonna say is this. I think Cam Ward will be in New York. You know what I mean? I'm not saying he's not going to be, but I just don't think he's the Heisman winner if Alabama is undefeated, SEC title champions, and are the number one team in college football. Because if they are, I don't think you give the Heisman to Cam Ward. It's got to go to Jalen Milroe, right? I
But I think
think
Cam Ward could arguably describe a more exciting player.
to an extent, but also too, I mean, they got lucky against Virginia Tech. I
Yeah.
mean, we all saw the controversy there with the Hail Mary, and they were down and whatever. But the Miami team as a whole, is nowhere near any team I think in the SEC. They have a very good quarterback, and their offense I think is very good, but
Yeah.
their defense is nothing special.
No, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to. I understand the SEC is the best conference, but it's a matter of like, let's imagine that their defense doesn't play very well and they continually let up like 30-ish points to like mid teams and they still win games. That's going to look better on him.
You think?
It will always look better on him. Like, realistically, when we're talking about weapons here, we're talking about like offensive linemen who have been there for 4 years for Miami who haven't like. Who aren't necessarily going to be like crazy high draft picks. We're talking about the difference between like Ryan Williams and Xavier Restrepo. I think people are going to value the you being back more than you're probably realizing because, as much as people are talking about like, the biases of the better schedule and all that, yes, that would mean that people like Travis Hunter can never win. That would mean Ashton Jeantie can never win. Then let's just hand it to it shouldn't even be a competition. It's who's the better quarterback between Georgia and Alabama each year. And I disagree with that idea because realistically, when you watch Cam Ward play in a game where there isn't a hurricane, in a non-hurricane setting, he takes over in a way that defenses simply cannot address and elevates everyone around him who clearly aren't amazing. Like would Xavier Restrepo be on the field for Alabama?
I think so.
He's not fast enough. He wouldn't be there.
But as a receiver wise, yeah, I mean, dude, their best player is 17.
Well, he's also one of the best receivers in the league,
That's true.
so.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, listen, all I'm saying is if Alabama continues to win, I mean, what he did on Saturday, what Jalen Milroe did on Saturday, that was a Heisman performance. That was a Heisman performance in a very big game. Cam Ward has played a couple nice games. I mean, he played really good against Virginia Tech. He just dogged on Florida when they played. But again, their schedule's real easy. The only ranked game is against Louisville in 2 weeks on the road. And then they play a shitty Florida State team, a shitty Duke team. Georgia Tech on the road might be interesting. And then they play Wake Forest and then they go to
Yeah,
Syracuse.
but how important is all this when they win out? When they win all those games? I'm going to give you the inverse of that argument. Granted, it's a really weak schedule, but like they're winning all those games. They're
Okay,
winning
so
all.
yeah, so they win all their games in a weak schedule, where I look at Alabama, who had a hard schedule in the harder conference, and they're still undefeated.
Yeah, but I don't know if Alabama's necessarily like, what's Alabama's rest of their schedule looking like?
You want me to look that one up too? I mean, it's gonna be the same thing. I mean, they played Georgia. They played the number one team in the country. Who cares?
Yeah, but I could see them dropping one against like LSU.
Dude, they gotta play Tennessee, Missouri, LSU, Oklahoma, and then of course
Yeah.
Auburn.
Yeah, you're acting like they can't drop one of those games.
I don't
Not
think they
even counting,
will.
not even
I don't
counting
think they
the
will. I don't think they will. If they win out, Milroe's the Heisman compared to Cam Ward winning out. If they don't, then you can come back in. If they don't win out, then yes, like you can make a point. But if they win out, and so does Miami, and they're both
Yeah.
undefeated, and Jalen Milroe continues to play, and so does Cam Ward the same way they've been, Milroe's the Heisman.
Yeah, but people have done that with Alabama before, where they've like won a bunch of regular season games and maybe even had a lot of postseason success. I think the fact that he's resuscitating a dead historic program is going to be valued.
I understand that. I
Yeah,
really
like
do. I get where you're
and if
coming
he
from.
does everything he can do and plays like at the level he is, they will exceed a Florida State team. Assuming he doesn't like something weird happens or he doesn't get like injured like Jordan Travis did,
Yeah.
they will exceed the Florida State team and now be that team.
No, you're right.
Except for a player that like Jordan Travis was never going to be a first round pick, he could potentially be a top seven, eight guy.
So let me ask you a question. Talk about draft stock for a second. If Milroe, I think regardless if Milroe wins the Heisman or not, I think Cam Ward probably gets drafted before him. You know what I'm saying? Like in the sense of, when all that comes down. But I think Milroe, if he does win the Heisman, I think he is now starting to move into a potential. Maybe he is the best quarterback in this draft. Maybe he is worth a first round pick. I just think an NFL team is going to regret passing on him. Because I see a lot of Lamar Jackson type tendencies in the sense of he can run the football. He's not shifty, but he's physical and he's fast. And I think people are going to overlook his ability to throw the football because he's not your typical pocket passer, as I would say, like a guy like Cam Ward is. But
He's got one of the best arms in football, for sure.
his
He's got one of the best
athletic,
arms.
that's what I'm
Yeah.
saying, but his athletic ability alone, I think, is going to make an NFL team very happy.
No, for sure. Obviously, Cam Ward's got a lot of size deficiencies, and there's a reason why they're tied. And I guess that's more my point is like you shouldn't exclude Cam Ward and include Travis Hunter and Ashton Jaunte. That to me is like do you really believe like straight up do you think there's a better chance that one of them win it than him?
No.
Okay.
No. The only reason why I
Okay.
could see Travis, the only way Travis Hunter, I think, wins the Heisman is if Colorado wins like 9 or 10 games. Like something like unprecedented happens. And then Jaunte, that's like if Boise State makes the playoffs. I don't know. It's gonna be
But they'd
kind of
have to
tough.
win a game. They'd have like
They'd
the
have
people have
yeah.
thought Boise State was going to make the playoffs for a
That's
while.
what I'm saying. Like they're gonna have to, win some big games, but in my head, I'm like, dude, it's Bama. Everyone was kind of counting them out, even in this game. And listen, if they are able to beat number one Georgia, they beat number one they beat number one Georgia. They destroyed Wisconsin on the road. Then they are going to have to beat number four Tennessee, number nine Missouri, number 13 LSU, and number 19 Oklahoma in the toughest conference in college football. I think it just does say a lot. I understand your point with Miami, bringing back a team from the dead. And like I said, Cam Ward will be in New York. But I think it realistically, if I had to pick my top three right now, and the only reason I didn't say Cam Ward is because I think Jaunte deserves a little bit more credit than what he's getting because what he's doing is nuts. But it's probably going to be Travis Hunter, Cam Ward, and Jalen Milroe.
Okay.
That's what I think.
I
Those are
can
my top three right now.
No, I can rock with that. I can rock with that for sure.
I don't know. I really do hope it's Milroe for my own personal agenda because I am sitting with a Milroe Heisman at plus 1800 ticket. But Cam Ward is, from a quarterback perspective, I think the only guy who will probably give him a run for his money. No doubt. So you really got Cam Ward.
I
Cam
got
Ward, if you
Cam
had to say
Ward.
right now, Cam
I
Ward.
got Cam Ward. I got. I think he's incredible. Like I haven't been more excited about a QB prospect in a long time. I think
Really?
he's fantastic.
Okay.
Assuming some sort of like collapse happening in the air, like the way he like gets the ball off with the velocity that he does and the time that he does, with the sense of knowing where his offensive line around, is around him at all times, just really gets me excited as someone who's had to watch Daniel Jones play for so long. And he's kind of the opposite. Like, and it just it
It
gets
gets you
me
going.
excited.
Gets you going. No, I get that. I get that. I think we both know. I mean, I understand your point. I think you understand mine as well. But as of now, you got Cam Ward. I got Jalen Milroe. It just feels good that football's back. You know what I mean? Like,
100%.
it just, I know we're almost a month in of, you know, everything being back, but I love talking ball, Jackson. I love
100%.
talking ball. Well, you got anything else?
Right now, no.
I think we did a pretty good job. What do you
We did a
think?
good bot. Well,
Yeah.
we need to book it.
Oh yeah, we
Our
do need
people
to
need.
book it. We do need to book
Today's
it.
the first of the month. Everyone's got to pay rent, and they
Yeah.
need our book it in order to get the first of the month. So,
You got one?
oh, I assumed you had one.
Oh. You know I have one. I'm always tapped in. Come on, Jack. Come
That
on,
was a
Jack.
skit we just had for
Come on,
unloading it.
Jack. Well, I considering that my book it lost last week because Anthony Richardson got hurt, I'm gonna personally like count that one as like I'm just gonna avoid it. I'm just
That's
gonna
a
avoid it.
push.
I'm just gonna
That's a
avoid
push
it.
in the
I'm just gonna avoid,
Tomas
yeah, I'm just gonna avoid
Borrego
it. I'm gonna avoid that as a push. And this one's really funny, and I think you're gonna laugh at this, Jack,
sportsbook.
because I don't think you ever would have predicted that this is gonna be my book it. But my book it this week is
If
the
this is the
Minnesota
Giants, I'm going to
Vikings.
walk out.
No,
Okay.
it's the Minnesota Vikings money line. They're playing in London against the Jets. And
Oh.
you know how I love me my Aaron Rodgers, but that Sunday, whatever that was, is ridiculous. I've now came to the conclusion that Robert Saleh is a bad head coach. He's gone after this year, regardless. But give me Minnesota on the money line. They're 2.5 point favorites. It's in London. Sam Darnold for MVP, baby. Book it.
Right now, I like to give people what they want. I know we're all gamblers at heart, so we don't like to wait for our sure locks. So I've been into the giving people the Thursday night games. And obviously this week, Buccaneers at Falcons. Probably not gonna be the greatest game of our lives. Probably not gonna be anything we write home about. Or on the flip side, could potentially be a pretty fun Thursday night game. But I think we all know, based on like how these games work, that every time that happens, there's a weird player that just does something. That just does something a little odd, a little especially on those weird Thursday night games with like a shortened playbook, which is why I'm pretty excited about the idea of Tyler Allgeier in that game against the Buccaneers. I think Tyler Allgeier over 31 and a half rushing yards is so free
Wow.
because they've been giving him a lot of carries. And something's up with Bijan. Something's up. He's good. We all see he's good. When he gets the ball, he does something well. They just don't believe in like
Giving him the
clear
ball like
give
30 times.
like Brian Daboll is doing that right now with a wide receiver who has maybe like 30 pounds less of just muscle on his body, and he's just getting lit up every time. But they're doing it because he's the best player around. For some reason in Atlanta, they are into the idea of spreading the luck and giving the love to everybody. And Tyler Allgeier breaks one for like 12, 15 every game. I think 32 rushing yards from him is going to be pretty light. I think that's going to be pretty easy. Always got to get the weird guy in the weird games. Tyler Allgeier over 31 and a half rushing yards. Book it.
I love it. I actually really like that one. It's gross and it's disgusting, but I love it. Well, Jack, another episode down. More bad takes in Boston have been given. The Patriots, please, for the love of God, do something so we can talk about you. We want to talk about Boston, but my gosh, it sucks that the only football team here, besides BC,
Yeah.
sucks.
Sorry about my swearing on the pod, Mom. I'll do better next week. I just got the Cowboys get me
I knew I'd get them riled
real
up.
blood boiling.
I knew I'd get them riled up there. Thank you again, guys, for tuning in on another episode of Bad Takes in Boston, and we'll be back with more next week.